morning. So good to see everyone coming and joining in the name of the Lord on a Sunday morning. There are two intimations which haven't made it onto our projection. The first is that it's the start of Christian Aid Week, and you should see near you an envelope. Please consider making a donation so that we can provide practical help to those most in need. The other is also an appeal. You may know that there was a fire in Tayport at the start of the week, and one family lost house and everything but what they were standing in. Tayport Church has reached out and is making practical support to them, and we have the opportunity to join in as well. So this morning we're having a retiring collection for the family in Tayport who have lost so much. If you would like to make a donation at a later stage, there is a QR code on a sheet of paper beside the offering plates on the way out. You can scan that on your phone, and that will take you straight to the appeal page for the family. Thank you much. These are the extra intimations.
The Lord is good.
All the time.
The Lord is good.
All the time.
And all the time. On behalf of myself and our church family here in Newport-on-Tay, I would like to welcome all those who are worshiping with us today. Special welcome to those who are doing so for the first time or doing so after a long while. Welcome also to our brothers and sisters who are on Zoom and to those who will be listening to our worship service online afterwards. Today is the second Sunday in the month of May. The intimations are as printed out on the order of service in your hands. Please look at them. The journal for this period is out, and if you don't have a copy, please pick one up and do well to read it. Let us take a moment of silence and prepare ourselves for worship. Let us worship God. Our first hymn, 127, O Worship the King.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious God, giver of wisdom and source of mercy, you know the needs of our hearts before we speak. You came to Solomon in a time of uncertainty and asked, "What would you like me to give you?" Today you ask us the same question. Too often we seek security before faithfulness, comfort before obedience, and success before wisdom. Yet you call us to seek deeper gifts, listening hearts, understanding spirits, and lives shaped by your will. You have shown steadfast love to your people in every generation. You guide us when we are uncertain, correct us when we wander, and sustain us when we are weak. Like Solomon, we confess that we do not always know the right path or discern clearly between good and evil. So we come trusting not in our own understanding, but in your grace. Teach us to listen before we speak, to obey before we demand, and to desire what is good and life-giving in your sight. In a world filled with fear, division, and uncertainty, grant your people wisdom, humility, and peace. Receive our worship and shape us into people who seek first your kingdom and righteousness through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." 465 is our next hymn, "Be Thou My Vision."
Thank you.
Good morning, children. Good morning, children. Please, can you just come right up this way? Let's light the peace candle. Grace, do you want to do the peace candle today? Just hold it there. Oh, thank you. Good morning. How are you today? Where are your friends? Have they gone to the beaches? It's a beautiful day. How was your week? I think somebody had a birthday. Can someone do birthday blessings today? Claire? You want to help us? Yes, please.
Who's had a birthday? Ariel's had a birthday. Come on, let me come. I'll let you be the tall one. So I've just told everyone your name's Ariel, but how old have you turned this week?
12.
12. And did you do any birthday celebrations?
Yeah. I invited some friends over.
To the house?
Yeah.
You had a good time?
Yes.
So what do you... You're in primary seven?
Yeah.
So what do you like doing at primary school, but maybe what are you looking forward to doing at Madras when you go up to high school?
I like being with my buddy, and I'm looking forward to... I don't know.
Everything? Just the change of school? Yes. So what hobbies do you have outside of school?
Well, I just started doing trams. So, yeah.
And was that your first show that you just did?
Yes.
Enjoyed it?
Yeah.
So we'll just say a short prayer for Ariel. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that you have brought Ariel here today after her birthday. She's turned 12. We thank you that she enjoys being with her buddy at school, and her buddy, I'm sure, has enjoyed the experience of looking up to Ariel. Be with Ariel as she goes through this next year, moving up to high school, that she will settle into the new school and also keep enjoying the hobbies that she's got outside of school as well. In your precious name we pray. Amen. So we'll sing Happy Birthday for Ariel for any visitors. The words are slightly different, but they will be on the screen behind. So thank you, Hannah.
Happy birthday to you, to Jesus be true. God bless you and keep you. Happy birthday.
Wow, Ariel is 12. Ariel was born in Edinburgh, Little France. And that was when I was doing my PhD at Edinburgh University. You're a big girl now, huh? God bless you. So we begin our children's address this morning again with a few questions. Have you ever seen yourself, or have you ever been asked to do something that felt really hard or difficult? I'll give you some examples. Or do you have some to share? Been asked to do something that felt really hard? Yes, Chris.
A math question.
Yes. Yes. You wanted to say that, Jacob? Yeah, a math question. What else? What about trying your shoelaces for the first time? Or learning to ride your bike. Is that not a difficult thing? Could have been difficult. Or maybe you've been asked in school to stand in front of your class and speak to the rest of the class. Have you ever had that experience? Nervous sometimes? Yes, things like that can be difficult. There is a story about someone who became king, and he felt it was really a difficult task. The name of the person in the Bible is Solomon. You know anything about King Solomon? King Solomon? He became king after his father David. And he knew that it was a difficult thing to become a king. But what are some of the nice things about royalty or being a king like King Charles? What are some of the nice things? What do you remember about kings? Crowns? You have a lot of money. Well, you can talk about crowns. You know, king has a crown. Palaces, they live in palaces. They eat nice meals. They have servants. All those are beautiful things. But being a king also comes with responsibility. And King Solomon felt this was a really difficult thing. And the Bible tells us that God came to him in a dream and asked him, "Tell me whatever you want and I will give it to you." Imagine that. If you were asked to name something, what will you name? Anything, and God will give it to you. What will you say? If they asked you now, whatever you want, we'll give it to you. What will you ask for?
Lego.
Yes. What again? Maybe a mountain of sweets. Sweets. You ask for sweets. Or what again? What? A car. Oh, you are 12, Ariel. You can't even drive. What will you do with a car? Or maybe a new football. So you ask for all those things. And Solomon could ask for power. He could ask for a big army. He could ask for riches, for wealth. But we are told in the Bible that he said, this is how he replied to God. He said, "I'm only a little child. And to lead all these people is a very difficult thing for me to do. So, God, please give me wisdom." What an answer. Give me wisdom. And wisdom, or to be wise, is to be able to make good decisions, to be good, to distinguish between what is good and what is bad, to make the right choices in life. And God was very pleased. And indeed, God gave him wisdom. So, all of us need wisdom, right? And one of the reasons we come to church every week is because the Bible is full of wisdom. Wisdom, many things we can learn for our own lives, for our families, for the communities, and things we can also share with our friends. So sometimes when school is hard, we can ask God for wisdom. Whatever challenges we have, we can always ask God to give us wisdom to deal with it. Sweets are good. New football would be a good thing. A car would be good. But we need wisdom to make the right decisions and the right choices. And God is always willing to give us that wisdom. Let us pray. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your love for us and especially for your love for our children. And we thank you for them and for the time they spend in your presence each week when they come to church. We are grateful for the story of King Solomon and for the question you asked and for how he responded. Give us wisdom, O Father, to be able to respond to you in the same way. Fill us with your wisdom and enable us to make the right decisions for our lives. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Our next hymn, 641.
If you wish to follow along with this morning's readings, the first one can be found on page 338 of the Pew Bibles and is projected on the wall behind me. The reading is 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 to 15. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, "Since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in my ways and obey my statutes and commands, as David your father did, I will give you a long life." Then Solomon awoke, and he realized it had been a dream. He returned to Jerusalem, stood before the Ark of the Lord's covenant, and sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. Then he gave a feast for all his court. Our second reading can be found on page 1084 of the Pew Bible, 1084, and it's John chapter 16, reading from verses 23 to 28. "In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. I am not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father." Amen. And may the Lord add his blessings to these readings from his holy word. We will now continue the service with singing the hymn 547, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus."
Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, in a world of many voices and competing hopes, quiet our hearts before your word. Teach us to pray with faith, to listen with humility, and to love one another beyond every division. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Dear congregation of God's own people, I want to reflect with you this morning on the theme, One Family After the Ballot. One family after the ballot, asking, trusting, and rejoicing in Christ. Dear friends, this has been quite a week for the United Kingdom. Across England, Scotland, Wales, and beyond, ballot boxes have been counted. Television presenters have hardly slept. Political analysts have filled the airwaves, and somewhere in Britain, there is probably still a man in a village hall arguing over whether a recount should include that one suspicious-looking ballot paper. And perhaps that is one of the most British things imaginable. Even our political disagreements often involve tea, spreadsheets, and polite frustration. In Scotland, of course, we sometimes add weather to the discussion. If your party lost, it was because of the rain. If your party won, it was a sign of national renewal. But beneath the humor lies something more serious. Elections reveal how fragmented and anxious our societies have become. Recent polling showed 5 major parties separated by barely 14 percentage points. No single vision seems able to fully capture the imagination of the nation. Across Britain, many people feel uncertain about the economy, public services, immigration, identity, climate, global conflicts, and the future of democracy itself. And this uncertainty is not unique to the United Kingdom. In the United States of America, political polarization continues to deepen. In many African nations, people wrestle with economic hardship, insecurity, and questions of governance. Across Europe, war, inflation, and cultural tensions have left many weary and uncertain about the future. We are living in an age where people are searching intensely for hope, for stability, and direction. The recent elections across the United Kingdom revealed just how unsettled and fragmented public feeling has become. The traditional two-party system appears weaker than ever, with many voters turning away from Labour and the Conservatives in frustration and disillusionment. Some sought change through rising nationalist movements, others through green politics, while many simply expressed anger at the political establishment altogether. In Wales, Labour suffered historic losses, while in Scotland, the Parliament at Holyrood in Edinburgh once again reflected strong nationalist sentiment. Across England, Wales, and Scotland, the results reflected a nation searching for answers, wrestling with identity, leadership, and the future direction of society. And so, after elections, many hearts carry mixed emotions. Some are pleased with the results. Others are deeply unsettled. Some look to the future with hope, while others carry quiet anxieties about the direction of public life and the tone of our national conversation. Across Britain, and indeed across much of the Western world, We are witnessing the growing appeal of political movements shaped strongly by questions of identity, borders, belonging, and national self-interest. For many citizens, these movements arise from genuine frustrations and economic concerns. Yet, for many others, particularly immigrants, minorities, and those who have spent years faithfully contributing to the life of this country, they can create an atmosphere of uncertainty and unease. Even the most hardworking and law-abiding foreigner may sometimes feel the subtle reminder that they are still regarded as guests in a land they have helped to build, serve, and enrich. And when public discourse begins to mirror the sharper and more polarized rhetoric increasingly visible elsewhere in the world, including parts of the United States, many of us begin to quietly ask, what kind of society are we becoming? Many ordinary people therefore wonder whether politics can truly heal the deep pressures facing society, rising costs of living, strained public services, loneliness, cultural fragmentation, and growing distrust between communities. Some may even wonder whether their voices still matter at all. Yet beneath all these reactions lies something deeply human, a longing for security, justice, and a future that feels steady again. Today, as we gather in Newport on Tay, Church of Scotland, something extraordinary happens. The labels that divide society do not define us here. Conservative, Labour, Green, Liberal, Democrat, Reform, SNP, undecided, or politically exhausted, we come into this sanctuary not first as voters, but as children of God. The gospel does not erase our political convictions, but it places them under a higher allegiance, the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Our text in John 16 comes at a moment of anxiety and uncertainty. Jesus is speaking to disciples who are confused, fearful, and emotionally overwhelmed. He tells them that sorrow is coming, but that sorrow will turn to joy. And then he gives them this remarkable promise, "Very truly I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name." At first hearing, it can sound almost like a blank check from heaven, but the wider witness of the Bible helps us understand what Jesus truly means. Think for a moment about Solomon in 1 Kings 3. Solomon had just become king in a politically fragile and morally complicated moment. The kingdom was unsettled, expectations were high, and even Solomon himself was not without contradictions. The text tells us that he loved the Lord, yet he still worshipped at the high places. In other words, he was a flawed man trying to lead in a complicated world. And yet, in the middle of that messiness, God came to him in a dream and said, "Ask what I shall give you." Now, Solomon could have asked for military strength, political dominance, wealth, revenge over enemies, or a long life. Instead, he asked for what the Hebrew text beautifully calls a listening heart, or wisdom. A heart able to discern between good and evil and govern God's people wisely. And God was pleased with that prayer. Why? Because Solomon's request was not centered on himself but on the good of the people entrusted to him. He asked not merely for success, but for wisdom. Not simply for victory, but for discernment. That sheds light on Jesus' words in John 16. To ask in Jesus' name is not simply to attach a religious phrase to our desires. It means asking in alignment with Christ's heart, Christ's purposes, and Christ's character. The Apostle James reminds us of this when he says, "You ask and do not receive, because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions." And Jesus Christ himself says in Matthew 7, "Which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake?" That is the key, my friends. Sometimes we ask God for what we think is bread, but in his wisdom, God sees what we cannot see. He knows when our requests, however sincere, may eventually wound rather than heal, divide rather than unite, and inflate our pride rather than deepen our love. And perhaps this is important to remember after elections. Some prayed passionately for certain outcomes, certain victories, and certain leaders. But the Christian life is not built on the assumption that God must always grant our preferred political outcome exactly as we imagine it. The deeper question is whether, like Solomon, we are asking first for a listening heart, a heart able to discern wisely, love deeply, and seek the common good even in uncertain times. Because sometimes God answers our prayers not by giving us exactly what we wanted, but by giving us the wisdom, the patience, and the grace we truly need. The disciples themselves struggled with this. They wanted immediate triumph. Jesus offered them a cross before the resurrection. They wanted certainty. Jesus called them to trust. And yet Christ gives them a promise stronger than political outcomes. The Father himself loves you. What a sentence. Political systems change constantly. Governments rise and fall. Economies shift, and public opinion moves with every election cycle. Yet the love of God remains unchanged. This is why Christians, even when they disagree politically, can still worship together in unity. The early church lived through division, instability, and Roman occupation, yet Christians treated one another as family before ideology. Paul's words in Galatians remind believers that the identity in Christ is greater than political labels. Christians should still care deeply about justice, truth, and public life, but political loyalties must never outweigh Christian character. When politics destroys love, humility, or compassion, it begins to demand what belongs only to Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ offers something deeper than temporary happiness, lasting joy rooted in his victory over the world. In a society that is politically active yet spiritually exhausted, the church is called to offer hope, peace, and reconciliation. Its witness is strongest when people who voted differently can still pray, worship, and love one another sincerely. Ultimately, Christian unity does not come from political institutions or national identity, but from Christ, whose kingdom is built on grace, hope, and peace that endure beyond every earthly division. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you are Lord above every nation and every age. Teach us to pray wisely, to trust deeply, and to love generously. Where there is disappointment, bring peace. Where there is pride, bring humility. Where there is division, bring reconciliation. Make your church in this land a sign of hope in anxious times, that the world may see not our divisions, but your grace among us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, for the years your love has kept and guided our next hymn 159. Please be seated. Let us pray. Let us dedicate the offering. Gracious and loving God, every good and perfect gift comes from your hand. You are the giver of wisdom to those who truly seek you, the Father who hears us through Christ and the one who provides for our daily needs. Today we bring these offerings before you, not merely as financial gifts, but as signs of gratitude, trust, and discipleship. As Solomon asked not first for riches, but for wisdom, so teach us to seek first your righteousness, your truth, and your compassion, Use these gifts to strengthen your church, to serve the vulnerable, to proclaim the gospel, and to bring hope where there is weariness and division. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Let us continue to pray. Let us intercede. And there is a response. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, you are sovereign over every nation and every generation. In times of uncertainty, you remain faithful. In times of division, you remain our peace. We pray today for the nations of the United Kingdom following the elections. Grant wisdom, humility, and integrity to all elected leaders. Where there is division, bring understanding. Where there is anger, bring wisdom and restraint. Where there is fear about the future, bring courage and hope. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for your church throughout the world. Make us one in Christ, even when we differ in opinion or background. Teach us to listen before we speak, to love before we judge, and to seek truth with humility. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those carrying personal burdens today, the sick, the anxious, the lonely, the grieving, the unemployed, and those struggling silently. May they know that the Father himself loves them. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for young people growing up in a confused and divided world. Give them wisdom, strong faith, and hearts rooted in Christ rather than fear or bitterness. Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, when we ask for things that may not bring life, grant us instead what we truly need: listening hearts, steadfast faith, enduring joy, and deeper trust in you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our final hymn is When We Walk With the Lord, is Mission Praise 760, and the words are printed on the last page in the order of service.
Thank you.
Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and the desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.